Hello, this is Dirty Church. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. This is your co-host, Aaron. We're actually starting the show right now. Our main host, Minister Jay Miller, he is running a little bit late right now. So basically, he asked me to chime in until he gets here. We're basically going to start our show on the conversation that we actually had earlier, which was Man versus God, I believe it was. This is going to be the second half of it. It was a very interesting conversation earlier. I necessarily can't have the conversation with myself because myself and Minister Jay Miller were actually having a discussion about it. We're supposed to be having another co-host calling in as well, Apostle Lewis Young. So we're just basically waiting for some callers to actually call in, preferably our main host of the night, which is Minister Jay Miller. All right. But before he calls, and while we're waiting, I guess I'll give everybody a brief synopsis of what we actually spoke about earlier. We actually, I think we have a caller calling in right now.
Hello?
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 Yes.
What's going on, brother?
How are you?
Good, man. Yeah, man, just came in, just got finished seeing the movie Taken 2, man.
How was the movie?
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good. You know, he goes in. Hello, Apostle Young.
Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, brother.
All right.
Yeah, we can hear you. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good.
Okay. I'm just making sure everything all right with you.
Yeah, I believe Aaron was bringing us up to speed to what actually was going on the first broadcast.
Well, go ahead on, Aaron. Give us a, you know, a refresh of what took place, and then let's go, you know, go in, talk.
Basically, what I was saying is we were basically having a conversation about man versus God. I believe that's what the topic was. We briefly touched on a lot of topics from the stem of that topic. We didn't necessarily get a point across per se, and that's why we actually started. That's why we actually are going to have a part two, so we hopefully can come to some type of resolution, on the discussion that we were having earlier. So,
okay.
Like I said, we hit on so many topics that basically, it would be kind of difficult for me to basically, tell you exactly what we spoke on or what we hit on, because we hit on so many of them at one time. So,
okay.
Well, let me ask the question, if that's possible.
It sure is.
What? I understand. I checked out the topic. Can somebody give me more of a premise of the topic? Man versus God. Who wins?
Well,
okay.
Well, put it this way. Go ahead, Aaron. You can go ahead.
Man versus God basically stems from the idea of how the human race, which is referred to as man, we basically try to since everybody has their own personal view or perception of God, the people that have these views, basically some people try to, I guess, disprove God, or some people try to take God out of the picture. And we basically want to see the end result of all of that. Is man's wisdom or man's knowledge going to override the knowledge of who we claim to be the creator of this world? Some may say yes, because some may not believe in a God. Some may say no, because God's wisdom, or I know one scripture basically says, I'm paraphrasing, a scripture says that the foolishness of God is wiser than, you know,
the wisdom of man.
Yes, exactly. So basically, yeah. So that basically stems our conversation. If I was hitting on it right, Jay, what was that basically right?
Yeah, you know what we're trying to say. Like you were saying, everybody has their own views of God. Everyone in the world was not raised in the same household. We weren't raised in the same neighborhood. We come from different cultures, traditions, and customs. So, since that's the case, we all grow up with different views and different perceptions of what God is or who God is. So, you know, some of us grew up in Pentecostal. Some of us grew up in Baptist churches. Some of us grew up in Methodist churches. And in those churches, there's a different experience. I mean, we all hear Jesus. We all hear God. But even in those services, it's a different experience that takes place that helps shape our view of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we're trying to get to a point right now where the topic is man versus God.
Right.
Who wins? The thing is, as a believer in Christ, my belief is, you know, God wins, because I believe that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and that man's intellect can't even match up to a thought of God. But everyone in the world does not feel that way. So now we're trying to say like this, man versus God, who wins to you? And there's different views. There's different individuals in the world who have a different concept of that. Some may say man wins because they place science or discoveries of what they found in knowledge of reading. They place that above the perception of a God that they've never seen, or that we can't prove physically for them to touch tangibly.
Well, let me interject something. All right, I consider myself a very analytical type of person, and I sit back and I listen to what I can glean something from what anybody says.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's flip this here. Let's not even make this right now even about church.
Okay.
Let's talk about the law of existence.
Okay.
You with me, Aaron?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, we all on this phone have to agree that there's a law of existence, right?
Yeah, because we're all existing right now. Yeah.
Because we're existing right now.
Okay. All
right. So, with the law of existence also establishes the creed of creation. And what I mean by the creed of creation, anything that a creator creates, can the creation ever be greater than the creator?
No. In my view, the creation is not greater than the creator. That's in my view.
Okay. What about you, Aaron?
Well, since my job on the show is to be the devil's advocate, I am going to take the opposing side just so I can make the conversation a lot more interesting. And like I said, I actually speak for the people that may not agree with the views that the majority, as followers of the faith of Christianity, may take. So, with that being said, I will not agree.
Okay. Now, we got some that agree, we got some that don't agree. But even an atheist, and an atheist is somebody that does not believe in the deity of God. They don't believe that there's a God. But an atheist has to agree that there's a law of existence and a creed of creation. Even an atheist has to acknowledge that, right?
I would say so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, whatever has created Earth, because the Earth just didn't appear. The Earth had some being or something had to create the Earth, even if it was something that made the bang out in space and the Earth came.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Either way you look at it, it was some entity, something that even made the bang form the Earth, because the bang just didn't happen by itself.
Well, may I interject, or
sure?
Do you want? Okay. That's understandable, but you're basically saying that something had to jumpstart the whole process of creation.
Right.
Correct.
Correct.
And I believe, now I could be wrong, but I believe where you're going with this is, this something is God. This something.
No.
Okay.
I just said we ain't gonna do the God thing. I'm just trying to. What I'm trying to prove here is, if it's not God, which we didn't already established, we're not gonna go to the God thing.
Okay.
What I'm trying to establish here is the law of existence and the creed of creation. Now, I'm not saying that even though I believe that God created everything, I'm not saying that at this point.
Okay.
I'm saying that the creator is always going to be greater than the creation.
Well, when you look at it from that standpoint, when you're looking at it in the standpoint of saying that, when you say creator, you're pointing toward a intellect, some type of entity that has a mind. So if you're actually saying that, then by all means, something that has a mind that created something usually is greater than their creation. In that sense, yes, it is so. But A lot of people who you're referring to, the atheists, or people that don't necessarily believe that God is an entity or a mind, will not accept that idea of a creator creating.
Why not?
Because
what I'm trying to get you to do is explain to me how an atheist can justify what you're just saying. Because even you, every time you sit down at that keyboard and create a piece of music, is the music greater than you, or are you greater than the music?
Well, again, you are asserting that a creation was created by a mind. And people who actually don't believe in a God totally disagrees with that, because you can actually come back and say, well, if this creator created a creation, then who actually created the creator?
Exactly.
Exactly. You're saying that
There had to be something to get the ball rolling. Because if we go by what you're saying, how could anything be created if a mind don't create it? Because before anything can be created, it has to be thought first.
Well, you're coming
are you
from.
Are you saying? Look, can I tag in without cutting no one off?
Yeah.
I just want to ask a question. Now, like Aaron, now when you say, you know, if Apostle Young is talking about it had to be a mind, or if it's, you know, something greater, all right, than the creation created,
mm-hmm.
because it created, all right, then someone may ask the question, all right, well, who created the creator? All right,
yes.
Let's wipe out the creator thing.
Okay.
What are people saying that makes existence existence without God? Like, what are they saying? Could you talk about that? Could you give us some insight on the different perceptions of how all this exists? Even if it's different from Darwin's theory of anything, of evolution or whatever like that. Like, could you?
Well, I will, but Charles Darwin doesn't have anything to necessarily do with the whole existence of the world. He actually dealt with evolution, and not just evolution. He dealt with a part of evolution called natural selection of evolution. But
okay.
First of all, I'm not a physicist. I am not a scientist in any type of way, so I am not an expert on any of these things. But coming from a layman's point of view, what I can say is, from what I know personally, science does not know. But what happens is, because they don't know, they don't assert an answer and stop looking, and that is what religion does. Religion just asserts the answer and says God did it, and they're fine with that. But science says, no, we're not fine with that, because if an actual entity started the whole creation, then basically we would
want
to find out about the creator. And since the creator is something that we necessarily can't find out about, then it makes the scientist's job 10 times harder. But what a scientist can find out, what a physicist can find out, a cosmologist can find out, someone who actually studies cosmology, they can actually try to find out the answers. But once religion puts a stop on it and says, well, no, we are fine with God, we are fine with accepting that God actually created the world, that's not where science stops, because science wants to continue and find out why behind that, how. So I do not believe science has the answer, but science doesn't stop. Science wants to find out why and how.
Okay.
Now, so is the problem the fact that science does not have a definitive answer?
No, science never claims to have a definitive answer.
Okay, but we claim to have a definitive answer.
Yes.
All right, so is that what the issue is? Because science could not come up with a definitive answer to combat the answer that we had?
Yeah,
so,
of course, because that actually comes into the God of the Gaps theory. Basically, the God of the Gaps theory is because we don't necessarily have an answer for it, we will insert God. And that has been happening for a very long time, but science has been answering questions that at one point God was the answer to, but then after science answered that question, God had to be taken out. So that God of the gaps is getting smaller and smaller and smaller because science are coming up with answers that was not or could not have been answered at the time through science. You have to remember, science is very, very young. You know, science has not been around as long as religion has. So religion has evolved, and they have come up with answers, and you know, and they have changed their answers, and they've come better. So religion kind of trumps science because of its age, but science is getting to the point where it's starting to answer questions with evidence, whereas religion doesn't necessarily have evidence. It actually asserts God because they don't have evidence.
Isn't astrology a form of science?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Well, you know, Pharaoh had astrologers.
Mm-hmm.
So, science is older than religion.
No, science isn't older than religion.
Okay.
Because
if astrology is science, which we all agree that astrology is a form of science, astrology was around when King Tut, Pharaoh, Ramesses, he had astrologers.
Mm-hmm.
That means they studied the stars, which is science. So science has been around way longer than organized religion. So, I mean, I just wanted to throw that out there because science,
if you look at it that way,
science has been around longer than religion, way longer than religion. So,
all right, but
My point for saying that is, I think the problem is we have an answer, but people are just not satisfied with the answer that we have. Therefore, that's what makes them seek out another answer and still come up with no answer, because they're not going to come up with an answer.
Okay.
They're not. I don't care how much they seek, how much they search. They're not gonna come up with an answer. Because, go ahead.
Well.
Because if they could come up with an answer, you would be able to tell us one tonight on the phone.
No, because like I said, I am not an expert in any type of way. In science, I am not an expert in the cosmos. I'm
okay.
not an expert in astrology, in anything, but what
the experts found it, with all the technology that we have, you don't have to be an expert to go online to get whatever the experts have discovered.
Yes, no, and I'm telling you,
They haven't discovered anything. Because if they would have discovered it, it's too many avenues, too many venues for them to put their discoveries up for the world to know.
Yes, correct. But that is one area where science has not answered, and they never claim to have answered the big question which is how has the world started.
Let me ask a question.
But isn't
right?
a disagreeable answer better than no answer at all?
I wouldn't say that, no. I would say the right answer is the best answer.
Okay, well, who's to say it's not? Just because you don't agree with it, that don't mean it's not the right answer.
No, true indeed. And you know what? Religion may well be the answer, but we don't know. Yes.
Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to believe in God? Like, why is that? Seems like it's the most difficult thing for man to do.
Because there's no evidence for it. There's no proof.
I believe I could give
a more definitive answer to that. Just like your child, when you have a child, eventually, your child starts to feel they know more than what you know.
Uh-huh.
Now, you and whoever you had made, you know, whoever you was involved with created the child, right? So that makes you all the creator of that child. right? Now, sooner or later, that child gets to the place where the old folks say they start smelling themselves, and they think they know more than what the parent knows, right? All right. Well, it's the same thing with men thinking they know more than what God knows. And this has been going on since man has been created.
Well,
that's why you got science, you got people that, because what it is, really, it's rebellion against knowledge.
Well, I wouldn't call.
Which makes people seek out a alternative knowledge because they don't want to receive, they don't want to receive the true knowledge.
Okay.
Because if there was another knowledge, if there was another answer, it is 2012. We get ready to go into 2013. Sent satellites out. We done did all this stuff. We got the internet. We got all this stuff. If there was another answer, I'm quite sure that these scholars with 3 and 4 PhDs that's supposed to have all the answers, they would have an answer by now.
I don't believe that is the case. That is by no means the way science works. Science doesn't just come up with answers overnight. It takes a very, very long time. For instance, people have thought for a very long time that the Earth was flat, but until we actually came up with the invention of the Hubble telescope, we've seen and then we've actually proven that the world isn't flat. The world is round. At one point, they actually believed that that the Earth rotated around the sun. I believe they thought that the sun rotated around the Earth, but actually the Earth rotates around the sun. They also thought that the Earth was the center of the world, but in actuality, the Earth isn't the center of the world. So there are a lot of things that people actually thought to be true at one point, but come to find out, it actually wasn't true because science has proven it to be untrue. Now,
well, Christopher Columbus was the one that proved that the Earth wasn't round.
No, he didn't. Hold up.
Christopher Columbus, do your research. Christopher Columbus was the one that discovered that the Earth was not flat when he sailed out to find other lands. And he did that before the Hubble telescope was ever thought about.
No, he didn't. He didn't find out that the Earth was not flat.
I learned that in elementary school.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to say, but your elementary teacher was totally wrong because there's no possible way. I'm just telling you that there's no possible way to find out if the Earth is round or flat by being here on Earth. That's something you would have to know looking from the outside in. Now, people may make suggestions or people may make hypotheses, but would they know for sure? No, they will not know for sure. And the way we found out for sure, and now it's evidence and it's factual, is because now we have telescopes to prove so.
Okay.
Hello? Yes, I'm here.
No, I was listening to you. I was letting you go ahead.
Okay. I'm sitting here while we're talking. I'm online.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, during the period of 500 through 700 AD, a couple of theologians claimed that the world was flat on scriptural grounds. Listen, but nobody listened to them very much, not even the church. The story that Columbus proved the world was round is hokum. He got his ships from Queen Isabel of Spain. She was the monarch who encouraged the Spanish Inquisition from a minor office of the church into the instrument of terror. Blah, 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 blah. It says here, as you go down, Christopher Columbus's journeys proves that you could sell. Wait a minute, I can't see this. You could sell the circumference of the Earth without falling off. His theory proved that the Earth is indeed not flat but round.
Okay. Like I said, he made assumptions dealing with so, but once we actually came to see the world from the outside, it was proof. Now, he very much so contributed to that proof, and by him doing what he did, made it to be factual, made it to be true.
No, but the question,
but looking from the outside in, that was the actual proof. That's all. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
But check this. Let me say this. Even though he didn't have the proof right then to actually show you from the outside, but what he was saying, wasn't it true?
Yes, it was true. And
so
I said I'm not disagreeing with that.
No.
I'm just saying actually having the Hubble telescope allowed us to confirm proof, to actually show you the evidence.
So sometimes, though, waiting on the proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
Waiting on the proof, like the actual physical proof, if someone is warning you about something, telling you something, and you're actually waiting, right? And if they don't show you the proof, that thing that they're warning you about can still be destructive to you if you don't take heed to what they're saying, too, right?
Well, in some senses, but I wasn't referring to that in this sense. Because I was actually agreeing with him. I was just saying that the Hubble telescope gave us the actual proof that we can actually see.
It gave us definitive proof that we
there you
see.
Go. Yeah.
But Christopher Columbus proved it when he did what he did.
Okay.
He might not gave you something that you could physically see, but
mm-hmm.
his theory proved that.
Yes.
So the point is, and I think what Jermaine was alluding to is the fact that sometimes it's better to believe without seeing.
No, it's not better to believe without seeing because Columbus.
Can you see love?
No, listen. Columbus did not actually say something that he didn't try to prove himself, and he proved it to be right, because evidently it was right. He didn't just say, okay, the Earth is round, the Earth is round, the Earth is round, the Earth is round, and he didn't go out to actually find out. So he actually did something to contribute to evidence in the contrary of the Earth being flat. But by someone just saying, believe this because I say so, because that's actually what the church was doing that you just read. And contrary to what they believed, Columbus went out and disproved their belief.
So let me ask you this question. Do you respect what's your view on faith?
What's my view on faith?
Yeah.
I don't believe faith is evidence. I believe faith is the excuse for the lack of evidence.
He believes faith is the excuse for the lack of evidence.
That's why you need faith for your evidence. Because you don't necessarily have the evidence. Because if you did have the evidence, you wouldn't need faith.
Okay. Now I need you to say that one more time, because I want to make sure I'm hearing this right. Say it one more time.
All right.
Faith.
The whole intent and purpose of faith is because of the lack of evidence that someone may have, hard evidence that someone may have on something. That's why you actually need the faith. If something actually existed and you can see it, and you don't
you know
have
what?
To.
I agree with what he just said. I agree wholeheartedly with what he just said, and it's scripture to back up what he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you give us the scripture that says that?
Huh? You
can
should
you
know
give
that
us scripture.
The scripture?
No,
yeah,
I don't.
The scriptures of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Okay. All right. Good.
The scripture itself interprets. That's the whole meaning of that scripture.
I agree wholeheartedly. That's why I asked you to say it again, because before I said anything, I want to make sure I heard you clearly.
Because that's
and
the meaning
said,
of the scripture.
What you said, that's actually factual.
So,
but the Bible says that.
Okay, so Jay, I have a question for you. Why did you ask me that question?
No, because I want the reason why I'm asking you that question because I was sitting here and I hear you know we're here talking and you know we're talking about proof evidence
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying like you know is there a point where faith is all you need? Can always being led with your sight keep you blind if you have to see everything?
No. No.
You know what I mean? My thing is like you and I'm just saying, like we all like we married, we got wives, you know, and families and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like me, my wife, she doesn't have to tell me, you know, she loves me every minute, every second of the day for me to actually believe that she loves me.
Mm-hmm.
It's based upon how she treats me, you know, the respect level, you know, how we interact, the feeling, you know, that she brings, the atmosphere, and all that type of stuff. Now, according to faith, now, a man of faith who believes in God, he believes that the God of his faith is there for him to nourish him, there for him to protect him, there for him to lead him and guide him and give him, you know, direction in this life journey, in this world that he created. You know what I'm saying? He recognizes that God or the Holy Spirit is the compass that we need to follow so that our steps could be right. You know what I'm saying? But a person who may be listening on the radio right now, they may say, I don't need God, and I'm my life is just well with just living just the way I'm living. I don't need no guidance. I don't need anything. And that's and you know what? Everyone has that choice to choose, like how they want to live their life. But my thing is like this. It's just like us having this discussion on here. It's so many things around. I see the evidence that there's a God all around me, every day.
May I
you
ask
know
you
what I'm
a
saying?
Question?
Yeah.
I understand the evidence that you have for your wife loving you. The evidence is proven by the actions that she actually portrays towards you. Your marriage, the relationship that you have. So you actually can see that physically. You actually can actually feel that. The proof basically is there. Now, my question to you is, you said that you see that the evidence of God. May I ask what that evidence is with the proof?
First of all, the evidence is with the proof is, you know, the evidence in the proof is with every breath that I take, with every breath, with every, like, every step, every movement of my limbs, every, my whole existence, me existence and me talking to you right now.
But can I ask you a question? How do you know that's not Zeus giving you that life? How do you know that's not Allah giving you that life to breathe? How come you know? Oh well, how do you know it's not, it's actually not just you. How do you know that it can't be Satan that's actually giving you this? How do you know that?
You can put it this way. It's I am. It's the creator of all things. You got to understand, Satan himself was created.
So who actually created the creator?
Huh?
Who actually created the creator?
But listen, who can create I am? I am, without I am, nothing is.
Excuse me?
Without I am, nothing is.
What do you mean by that, I am? What do you mean by that?
Who is I am?
I haven't the slightest idea who I am is. You're talking gibberish to me right now.
The Bible said, listen, God is, he said, I am that I am. He is I am is his name, meaning
but
that
what,
nothing.
But what does that mean?
Yo, what it means is, this is what it means. I am. Just those two words right there, that letter I am. I am. Just that alone. If you really, you gotta really look. You don't let.
Basically, what he's saying is, I am, is saying there is no after me.
How do you know that? How do you know that? Now, I can.
Okay, how,
I can actually
say, how
accept.
Do we know?
You
how
are.
Do we? You're saying, how do we know that is true? How do
now,
we know that
I
is
can,
not?
I can accept the fact that you believe that, but when you assert I know, that means that it is something factual, it is something true that cannot be necessarily proven wrong because it's factual. My question to you is, how do you know that it isn't any other type of God? Because there are people who make your same claims, but attesting that claim to another type of God.
But there are other gods.
Yes, so my question to you is, they actually give credit.
There are other lords.
But they actually give credit, the same credit that you are giving your God, they're giving their God their credit that, because they breathe, it's because of their God.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, because as far as I'm concerned, and this was in my thesis, as far as I'm concerned, Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, to me, they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Different
How
names.
About Zeus?
Man, Zeus is a mythical thing.
Well,
Zeus is mythical. That's Greek mythology. We're not talking Greek mythology here. Because
no,
we are talking
about God. Because
No, because there's a difference. Greek mythology means myth. What is a myth? What is a myth?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you. What is a myth? M-Y-T-H. What is a myth?
It's a legendary story.
A legendary story.
Bases a fact or a natural explanation.
Okay. So Zeus, if you go by Greek mythology, Zeus indeed does line up as the same as Yahweh.
Yes, he does.
Allah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But you never heard nobody praising Zeus.
I've never heard anybody praising Zeus.
I've never heard of nobody saying, I thank Zeus for waking me up this morning.
You can actually say you haven't heard that, but I'm quite sure there has been lots of people in our time, especially in the time of 1st, 2nd, 3rd century and so on, when people actually did consider that to be true.
I've never heard it mentioned. I've always heard people say, even in Greece, they prayed to the gods in heaven.
Yes. And the gods that they pray to are these Greek mythology gods that
not
you claim.
Not just Zeus, though.
No. I know. Not just
not
Zeus.
Just Zeus.
But Zeus. I know, but Zeus is actually one of the gods that actually pray to.
He's one of the gods.
Yes, of course. Uh-huh.
But do you know how many Greek gods there are?
Yeah, there's quite a lot, and
there are a vast number of them.
Yes, and there are also many other gods besides the Greek gods.
Let me tell y'all this little story right here, real quick. This was real interesting, right? It says, it was a teacher using a scientific method to teach the class about evolution. And it says, this is the teacher, Tommy, do you see the tree outside? He says, yes. Tommy, do you see the grass outside? He says, yes. Go outside and look up and see if you see the sky. Okay, he returned a few minutes later and said, I saw the sky. The teacher said, did you see God? Tommy says, no. The teacher says, that's my point. We can't see God because he isn't there. He doesn't exist. Then it says, a little girl spoke up and wanted to ask the boy some questions. The teacher agreed, and the little girl questioned the boy. The little girl said, Tommy, do you see the tree outside? He said, yes. Tommy, do you see the grass outside? He says, yes. Getting tired of these questions this time, the little girl said, do you see the sky? He says, yes. Tommy, do you see the teacher? He says, yes. Then the little girl says, do you see the teacher's mind? He says, no. Then it says, according to what we were taught today in school, she must not have one.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. That was a good one.
I don't get it. Explain it to me.
You don't get it?
No, I want you to explain it.
Just because you don't see something don't mean it don't exist.
But that has nothing to do with anything. I'm going to tell you why.
How does it?
I'm going to explain myself.
Yeah, go ahead. We're going to let you talk so you can have the floor and explain yourself.
Okay. Just because I cannot see someone's mind doesn't mean that the mind doesn't exist. We have proof that the mind exists because we can actually look at people's brains. We can look at how the brain works. We can look at...
people that got brains don't necessarily mean they got a mind, Aaron. Because people got brains, but their brain is dead.
I'm just telling you, just based on the story that Jay just said, she said just because the person doesn't necessarily see his mind doesn't mean that he doesn't have one. And I'm saying that there are tools out there to measure mind.
No, but listen, that wasn't the point.
Okay, let me tell you what the point was. Let me tell you what the point was.
Okay.
The teacher was trying to show the boy that because you can't see God, he can't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So the little girl was saying, we can't see his mind, so that must mean he don't have one. She was being sarcastic.
So she was saying, then according to what we were taught today in school, she must not have one. So we go by those methods that the teacher was teaching us, whatever we can't see with our eye doesn't exist.
No, because that's not true, and that little girl is wrong, and they should fix the story because
Aaron,
that
but
has.
Can you look? No, can you? No, this. Listen to this.
Nah.
Can you look at me?
He got you now,
Aaron. Can you look at me? Can you look at me? Can you look at me? Right? Can you look at me and see my mind? You. I'm talking about. Can you see my mind?
No, I cannot see your mind.
But I can still have one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the little girl, the teacher didn't ask, she didn't ask the teacher, oh, can the scientists look through a telescope and can they look through a big magnifying glass and see the mind through technology? She asked him a question just like the teacher asked. asked the little boy, go outside and look in the sky. Did you see God? Not no tools or technology helping for them to see. That's what we're talking about. See, you go, you try to shoot around.
No, I'm not shooting around anything because the fact of the matter is there is evidence to show that a mind exists. Whether or not I can see it with my eyes, face value.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're talking. We're talking about sight versus faith. We're talking about
what a person can see
with your natural eye. Because right now, you may not believe the way you believe because you've never
seen God. I actually can see the mind with my natural eye, but with the help of some type of tool. So
let me ask you this.
I can prove that the mind exists, but with the same question, I don't care what
you
type
can
of
prove
tool
that
you
the
have.
Brain exists. You can prove that the brain exists.
You can prove that the mind exists, too, because you can measure thoughts. You can measure thought patterns. You can measure the reason why people, how the brain works. We don't know all and everything about the mind and the brain, but we can measure a lot. But with that same degree of evidence, you can't measure God. You can't prove that there's a God. That's why you have to have faith, because faith is the evidence of something that you can't see.
No, faith is what God requires.
No, I'm not.
Faith,
no,
faith.
You
faith
are talking about biblical stuff.
No, but
we said.
Say that again.
Go ahead. I apologize. Finish talking.
No, according to when you deal with faith, faith is a key that takes us to a place beyond the perception of the naked eye. The naked eye. Like right now, I would say you personally. You may feel like since God has not revealed himself to you.
Nope, you can't say that.
He does
because
not
personally,
exist.
I believe God has revealed himself to me. So, you can talk from a broad sense.
All right. Let me ask, in what way would you say God revealed himself to you?
Well, I got saved.
How did you get saved?
By accepting Christ as my personal Savior.
And he accepted you.
Well, I don't necessarily know if he accepted me or not, but that's what
you have to do
to be accepted.
But you're saved, right?
According to the Word of God, I believe so, yes.
Now, I'm confused. I'm confused.
You don't have to be confused. You know why? Because I will straighten it out for you. I'm not coming from a personal belief. Like I told Jay earlier, my personal belief is my business. I will not share my personal belief with anyone. But what I will do is I will come from an avenue of, quote unquote, the devil's advocate, because there are people out there who will ask these questions that I'm asking. And they will come with all types of questions opposing to a non-believer or someone who actually believes in some other type of religion. That's where I will be coming throughout this whole show.
Okay. So you don't necessarily believe in what you're saying. You're just playing a role.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Because, like I told Jay in our early episode, there may be a lot of people out there that may want to ask these questions during a Bible study or may want to ask these questions when they're talking to someone of a different belief or a different faith. But they can't do that because they may be scared. They may not have enough information. They may not be well equipped to even ask questions. So I'm giving those people the avenue of maybe I can have questions answered while we're here on air right now.
Okay, so since you're representing those people, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you Wow, I just had it and I lost. Do you believe? Okay, yeah, I got you. Do you believe that there's no purpose without God?
All right, hold on. I gotta. Do I believe that there is no purpose without God?
Right.
I believe that people can have purpose with or without God.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. How? Elaborate on that. Elaborate on how a person can have purpose without acknowledging God for the purpose.
Because I may be someone who doesn't believe in God at all. God at all. But my purpose in life is to be a person who takes care of my family to the best of my ability. Or my purpose can be I actually work at Coca-Cola, and I want to be the best employee that they have. And that's my purpose in life. And that has nothing to do with God. That has nothing to do with faith or religion.
Okay.
I have a question for both of you.
Okay.
Now, since I'm talking to people who follow the Christian faith, people who follow the Word of God, which is the Bible, do you believe that you can build faith, have faith, build a relationship with God, have knowledge of God, have knowledge of Christ, have knowledge of the faith without the Bible?
Yes.
I'm not talking about the physical book.
Yes.
I'm talking about what the book says.
I'm giving you an answer right now. Yes.
Okay.
And you want to know why?
Yes.
Because Paul had a relationship with God and the Bible didn't exist.
Okay. But Paul actually was a Pharisee, and he did believe in the scriptures, which was the Old Testament, which
right.
they seen as the Torah.
Right.
So scriptures actually did exist. It wasn't the Bible canonized as we know it today.
Okay.
So they did follow
scripture. Thank you for saying that, because that was my point.
That was your point?
Yeah.
But Paul actually still did follow a Bible. It just wasn't our Bible, but he followed the Bible of his day.
What he followed was, all they had was the law, which was the Torah.
Yes.
So you cannot compare the Torah to the entire Bible.
No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is they actually had a book to learn about God and to build their faith upon.
Okay.
So my question to you is, can you learn, can you build your faith without the Bible?
Yes.
And
everybody that built their faith could read.
Did Abraham have a Bible?
No.
And he was considered the father of faith, right? He didn't have a Bible, though, that he was following, right?
That's right.
To be honest, I'm actually not sure what he had at the time. I don't know.
No, you're talking about Abraham.
Yes, I'm talking about Abraham.
Yeah, all right. And Abraham,
the Bible wasn't written until after Moses came.
After Moses, so he didn't even
not even the Bible, the Torah.
It wasn't
Torah,
even no
Moses
law
wrote
written.
Torah. Moses came after Abraham did.
Yes. Totally understood. But was there something at all that he had? I'm not sure. No, I'm just asking the question. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just asking the question.
Guess what he had?
What did he have?
He had God.
He had an ear to hear God.
Mm-hmm. Audibly, correct?
Audibly.
Yes. Okay. That was my question. So So you answered it, and I'm not necessarily happy with the answer, but I'm okay with the answer that you were given.
So you don't believe that God can speak audibly?
No, what he believes is that if God were to speak audibly, it would be able to be recorded. That's what he believes.
Recorded how? Abraham was going to pull an iPod out and record God?
No, I'm not.
He believes if
God speaks
now audibly, if he speaks now audibly, you should be able to record it with your iPhone or your iPad or some type of recorder or something like that.
Okay, all right.
Like if you want to speak audibly.
Yeah, well, I know Abraham.
Now God speaks through man.
He believes when God speaks, God has to, his voice has to.
God has to be or do anything.
You know what I'm saying? Do you believe that when he speaks, his voice has to be under the rule of what we know, the rules that we go by in this earth realm?
When someone says that God has spoken to me audibly, just like me and you are speaking right now on this phone, yes, of course they do, because you are talking about something that actually could be measured by reason and by tools that we actually have. Now, if you say God spoke to you within your own heart or within your own mind, then
well,
that's something that I can't prove. That's something that I actually can't prove. That's something you can't prove either. Honestly, because who's to say God is speaking to you, and who's to say God's not speaking to somebody else that you may totally disagree with? So I mean, that's neither
like
here nor there.
I believe this is my thing. I believe if God speaks to Aaron or he speaks to Lou, I believe when God speaks.
Mm-hmm.
If God spoke audibly, and I'm not on this phone, I've never heard God speak audibly, where you can record it and I could be like, yo, listen to God. Like, I can't say that, all right? But if God was to speak, right,
mm-hmm.
I believe that when he speaks, that it will bring some type of result. If there would be some type of movement, there would be some type of something, whether it's done through me for somebody else or whether it's just for me. When God speaks, things happen.
And I truly
believe that.
And I definitely believe you too. I have an actual story. The woman who, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but there was a woman who actually said that God was speaking to her. And she believed this wholeheartedly, because if she didn't, I don't believe that she would have done what she did. She 100% without a shadow of doubt. Now, whether you may agree with it or not doesn't take away from the fact that she claims God spoke to her. She killed her 4 children because she said God wanted her to kill her children. Now, who am I to say that God didn't tell her to do that? I'm not sure, because I'm not in her mind, and I don't have the type of relationship that she may or may not have had with God. I don't know.
Well,
so
can I answer that?
I do.
But you believed her, though, right?
Yeah, no.
No,
whether,
you just said you believed her? No, I'm saying, did you believe her?
No, I didn't believe her. No, I didn't.
I thought you just said you believed her.
No, I said whether I believed her or not. Doesn't make a difference.
Did you believe her?
No, I did not believe her.
Oh, okay. All right, then. All right.
Well, what about, why? First of all, for God to tell somebody to kill their kids, he going against his own commandment. He said, thou shalt not kill. Why not?
Because now he's about to come with Abraham and Isaac when God told Abraham to take Isaac up. He told him
not to kill the lad because I have prepared you a lamb.
Yes, true.
So
true indeed.
There's a difference in testing and killing.
No. True indeed. God said, don't kill him. But God also said, kill your kid. God wouldn't say don't kill your kid if God said in the first place kill your kid. So whether or not Abraham followed through with it doesn't matter. God still said kill your kid. And not only that, but when you say God is going against
God
his word.
Why did God tell Abraham to kill his son? Do you know why he told him to do that?
Yes, I do, but it doesn't make
why?
A difference.
Why? No.
That.
Then
wait,
if you know,
wait,
explain
wait.
It. If you know, explain it.
I'm going to finish my statement. After I finish my statement, you
no,
can
no,
ask
you been,
anything
you, know,
you want.
Hold up. No, hold up. Right there.
I'm going to answer his question.
With your statement.
No,
answer
I'm going
that
to
right
answer.
There.
I'm going to answer his
right.
question.
Okay.
But
just
in order for me
to answer,
answer
the question, just,
yeah,
don't
I won't.
You're going to probably go around the whole mountain.
No, I'm not, because I'm dealing with the question that he asked me first. Then after I finished answering that question, I can go to the next question he asked me.
Okay.
All right. He said, God does not, because it is against his law, thou shalt not kill.
Okay.
But throughout the Old Testament, that is what God has done throughout the Old Testament. God has actually killed entire nations. He has killed entire nations. So, yes, God actually did go against his own word.
Hold up. The law was not written yet.
No. I'm answering his question.
So you can't even use thou shalt not kill.
Yes. Ho. The law was written. The law
no,
was
wasn't.
Definitely written.
No, it wasn't.
Yes,
the law
it was.
Wasn't written until Moses wrote it.
Wait a second. You're telling me that God did not ordain or God did not kill or God did not give the okay to kill anybody after Moses? Are you telling me that? Because I can give you numbers of scriptures where God has condoned killing. God has killed.
Let me ask you this. Was Moses before Abraham?
Excuse me? I'm talking about, you said that the law was not made. I mean, God.
Was Moses before Abraham?
No, you said God was not actually killing people before
when God told Abraham to kill his son, to take him up there and sacrifice him, the law was not written yet.
We have.
So I just did
because I'm not talking about Abraham anymore. I'm answering his question.
You used the thou shalt not kill.
Ho. That doesn't even make sense because you are saying that the God who knows the beginning and the end, because he didn't tell somebody to write down the law yet,
no,
it wasn't
Lou,
breaking the law?
You understand what I'm saying, Lou?
What sense does that make?
Lou, first of all, I need you to answer one question.
Yes, sir.
If you want to finish, let him finish, Jay. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay. So now to get back to the second question that you asked me, why did God tell Abraham to kill his son? It was to test his faith.
No.
That wasn't one of the reasons why?
Yeah, well, that wasn't the main reason.
Okay, well, I mean,
I
want
to know the main
reason.
What was the main reason why God told Abraham to kill his son?
I don't know. You would have to fill me in on that.
All right. That's how, when Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, God had him to do that, not just to establish him as the father of faith, but to let him see how God was going to feel, because God was going to have to sacrifice his son.
Okay.
That's how Abraham became the friend of God.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, you know, that is an interpretation led to be disputed by many people. But I'm not saying you're wrong.
Well, everything we saying on the phone can be this.
Yeah, but I'm actually talking about from a theological point of view, because
that
some,
is theological.
That is a theological point of view. Exactly, and that's why I said that is up to be disputed by theologians. But it still doesn't attest to.
Second of all, your point would be valid if Abraham killed the lad.
No, it wouldn't be valid because the very point of God telling Abraham to kill his son exists. God would not have told him not to kill his son if he would not have told him to kill him in the first place. And my point was, God actually does. First of all, my point was to say that the lady said that God actually spoke to her and told her to kill her son or kill her children. You said God wouldn't tell you to kill your children. I'm saying God actually does tell people. Whether or not they follow through with it is irrelevant. My point is God does say kill.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
And I'm hearing exactly what you say. Number one. First of all, God didn't kill nobody. Man killed them.
Excuse me?
You heard what I just said? Name one man on earth that God physically killed.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah, during the time of Noah.
No, a flood killed the people of Noah.
Exactly. God did it.
God allowed it. There's a difference.
Exactly. God did it.
God allowed it. And
because
then when he
God
was when,
did
when
it.
The children of Israel was killing people off in their pursuit to go to the promised land,
mm-hmm.
that was killing, that was purposed.
No, listen,
in order for them
listen,
to
listen,
get to
I'm
where
not,
they was going.
I'm not
okay,
I'm not disagreeing.
So you know what's so crazy, right? When people
mm-hmm.
say, like, oh, God killed, or God did this, or, oh, I don't think, God should, he shouldn't do it that way, or God should do it this way. Well, if I were God, well, since God, if a God would do something like that, that's not a God that I would serve, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you're about to say God is a God of wrath as well.
No, what I'm about to say that, I'm like, who is the creation
to say what the creator's supposed to do?
Yeah, like, you know
because
what I'm saying? Like,
that's like a car. That's like me. That's like Henry Ford going outside, looking at the car he created. Now the car want to tell him how to drive me.
You know what? In this day and time, right,
mm-hmm.
the hammer get more people to lift their hands up than actually God do.
Yep. I like that. That was good, Zay. I didn't go front. That was a good one. I like that little analogy.
No, for real,
it's
man.
True. It's true, though.
Fun, all right,
now take it, Jay. Now, to be honest with you, with all of you, I am real. Like, this is the first conversation that I can actually say that is actually productive because everybody is actually getting a turn to speak, and that's awesome. That's I really, really commend all of us on that because the earlier conversation, I don't think we were giving any of us, you know, enough room to speak. But
well, you know, all of us, we all get psyched. Plus, we're musicians too, so you know.
Yeah, I know. But
we know how to get real hyper and real energetic.
To be considerate to the listeners, it's a whole lot easier. And I honestly, I think to be honest with you, Jay, I think Lou gives us that kind of discipline to make us listen to each other. I'm sorry, but I really think Lou is like that foundation to give us that, you know, that joint right there to make us all listen. But anyway,
he's the apostle.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so you're right. I can't knock that. I can't knock that at all. But to go back
to because
on,
I'm interested to hear what everybody got. To, you know, I like the fact that Aaron is going to be like, I don't agree with that.
Yes,
we don't want yes man on the line. We want somebody that, you know.
There you go.
We want somebody that's going to be like, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. And then just stand flat-footed and don't be no wimp about it and say what you got to say.
There you go. And that's awesome. But I just want to answer the – I'm sorry, go ahead, Jack.
No, I just wanted to say something, and this going to go a little bit left field real quick, but it's still going to be within.
But hold, Jay, just remember something. Whatever you talked about previously, don't forget it, because I want to answer that question you talked about, okay?
About the hammer, or which one?
No. Well, you made that statement based on what you said, but you were basically saying how everybody thinks that God is supposed to be this, you know, this good God and not supposed to be so wrathful and not supposed
no,
to.
But, yeah,
and
what
but how can the creation dictate what the Creator does or and if that's considered right or wrong? I want to answer that, but finish saying
no,
what you
no,
were saying.
No, because also real, like you don't ask that AK-47 those questions.
Okay.
You definitely don't ask the person that's holding it those kind of questions.
You're right about that, but I'm going to answer
God that can cut your breath.
All right,
can cut your wind. Who is the the source of all things?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but I want you to say what you were going to say about the less field thing first.
All right, this is what I was about to say. Would you say God is fair to you?
Would I say God is fair to me?
Like, I mean, do you would you say God is fair?
Yes. He's just
to me, yeah. I mean, I believe, well, you know, God, I mean, I have no complaints in my life. My life is beautiful.
You know,
I love my life.
Come on.
Yeah, that house you got, brother, you know, but
To answer the question that Jay posed earlier about how can the creation dictate right or wrong from the Creator, I believe the creation has every right to do so.
All right, let me ask you this.
I wanted to
do
answer
you
your question, but okay.
It's a little bit more right here. Let me ask this right now. Would you say that if God just allows people who believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, if he just allows those people who go according to the Bible, if he lets those people in heaven, and it's people that live in other places that's not raised up, and they never say Jesus, and he sends all them to hell, would you say that's fair?
Before I answer that, I have to go back and answer the question before I go there. Would you allow me to do that? Hello?
Go ahead. If that's what you feel,
okay.
Like, go ahead.
All right. Well, I believe that it's totally in someone's place to ask questions. I believe God gave us a mind to ask questions. God gave us a mind to question things. If not, why have a mind? With that being said, if I'm coming from a humanistic point of view where everybody would actually agree with, whether or not you want to change your mind when it comes to a religious point of view is beside the point. Each and every one of us have children. Okay. I created my child. Let's say my child didn't do his or her homework. And because my child didn't do his or her homework, I say, you know what? Because you didn't do your homework, I'm going to put you to death. Now, is it right for me to kill my kid because my kid did not do his or her homework? Most people who are in their right minds would say no. It is not an ideal thing to kill my kid because my child did not do his or her homework. It wouldn't even be an ideal thing for me to lock my kid up in a basement for eternity and punish my kid because my kid did not do his or her homework. And that is exactly what's being said by religious fanatics. They're saying, because God is the Creator, he has the right to basically punish me any way fit he sees to do so. And I say, yes, that's very unfair. To come back to your question that you posed about is it right for people to go to hell who have never heard of God, who actually has never been raised as a Christian and who has been raised in other faiths, is it unfair for them to go to hell? Of course it's unfair for them to go to hell, just like it would be unfair for anybody to go to hell. It would be.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. And, you know, right, I set this thing for mature audience, so there should really be no actual kids really listening to this right now. And I'm going to say,
I hope not.
I hope not. If they are, they about to wake up a little something. All right?
Apostle Lou, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Okay.
Listen.
Okay, okay.
When you were swimming in your daddy's sack.
Mm-hmm.
And he released millions and millions of sperms out.
Mm-hmm.
And you made it to the egg.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other millions didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that unfair?
That's not based on something that I'd done wrong. Or something that God can accuse me of.
No, but
that's
I'm
totally
saying,
irrelevant.
No, but this is what I'm saying, though.
I exactly heard what you said, but it's totally irrelevant.
It's unfair, though, why they couldn't live.
It's totally, totally irrelevant to what we're talking about.
No, what I'm saying
is,
so if you made it to the egg, right? So if I'm mm-hmm. Now you were in the earth realm. Now I'm in the mm-hmm. earth realm. All right. And when
mm-hmm.
we die, it's heaven and hell, right? And
uh-huh.
I live a certain way according to rules that says it gets me to heaven, right? And I
mm-hmm.
go there. And others don't follow
contingent,
those rules.
Contingent on you knowing the rules. That's totally based on you knowing the rules.
Well,
Can I ask a question?
Hold up. Seriously. Let me ask a question, all right? Because y'all talking about the fairness of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether God is fair or whether God
all
is
of,
just or unjust.
All of this is called theodicy. This is all called theodicy, the problem of evil. That's what we're talking about
good
right now. The
evil,
correct
right?
term is called theodicy.
Okay,
ahead,
well,
right?
let me ask this question. When the children of Israel was returning the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the Ark of the Covenant was getting ready to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the gentlemen, I forget his name off the top of my head. If you give me a minute, I'll think of his name. But anyway, the Ark of the Covenant was getting ready to fall off the cart. He reached out to grab the Ark of the Covenant because he didn't want the Ark of the Covenant to hit the ground. But the man
mm-hmm.
instantly died.
Yes.
Was that fair or unfair?
Well, number one, I'm coming specifically from the Bible. And because I'm coming specifically from the Bible, I would say, yes, that is fair because he knew the rules. But I'm just coming specifically from the Bible.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Because he knew the rules.
He listen, well, it's the same way with the previous question. If somebody, first of all, I can't remember, I got to find the scripture where it says that God can't even return until every man has heard, at least heard, the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
okay, well, how about the many people that actually died before hearing the word of God?
How you know they didn't hear it?
Those are all exceptions because...
Well, first of all, the Bible says that when Jesus died, he went and led captivity captive.
Yeah, but I'm actually talking about people that died after Jesus.
Okay, well, all the people that died after Jesus, okay, how do we know they didn't hear about God or Jesus?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and the question still stands: how do we know they did? We don't know.
God is the only one that can know that. That's why
yeah,
he hasn't come yet.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and that's your point of view, and I can't knock that. But my question would be, when you're talking about fairness and unfairness, do you know the same God of the Bible, actually one of the laws states that if a kid disobeys their parents, they should be pulled out on the outer edges of the town and be stoned to death. Did you know that?
Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the laws. It's a whole bunch of laws. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you necessarily agree of that being morally correct? Would you actually do that to your child?
Well, guess what? Technically, if you want to be technical, a child really shouldn't even be punished until they come to the knowledge of right and wrong.
No, I'm talking about a child who does know right and wrong. Do you
think a child that knows right and wrong? It's
Apostle
different
from
the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Now, no, you cannot depict the Old Testament and New Testament because you cannot separate the two.
Because the Old Testament, they was living under the law. We living under grace now.
So does that mean that you get to throw out the Ten Commandments? Does that mean you get to throw out
tithing? That's not what I'm saying.
No.
That's not what I'm saying.
So then now you're cherry picking.
How am I cherry picking?
You're not cherry picking. If you live by the law, right?
Wouldn't nobody be able to survive under the law?
Yeah.
Not you, not me, not nobody.
Okay. So right now, if you ate shellfish or shrimp
under the law, you're supposed to be stoned. You're supposed to be separated from the community.
You might as well have
clean.
Because now you got all the sin on you.
So my question is, do you throw out the Ten Commandments or do you still follow them?
I follow the whole book.
Okay, so if you follow the whole book, then my question to you is,
the Old Testament says,
so my question to you is, do you follow the Ten Commandments still?
I follow the whole book, which includes the Ten Commandments.
So if you follow the whole book, my question to you is, would you, if your son disobeyed you, would you take your son out to the outer limits of the city and stone him to death?
No.
Why not? Yes.
Because it wouldn't make sense to take my son outside, I will go to jail. That's why.
Because the Bible
says obey the laws of the land. And the laws
of
the land says that we're not supposed to be stoning our kids.
Of course. That's my point. Because society has deemed that the old way of living is immoral and incorrect of living. But what people do is we cherry pick, what us religious people do, we cherry pick and we choose which ones we still take and hold and which ones we keep in the Old Testament.
That's an unfair statement. Because I don't cherry pick the Bible.
Yes, you do.
How? Show me how.
You just cherry picked it because you. Okay, I'll give another one to you. Do you believe that you should be killed if you wear different types of cloth or different types of clothing that are made from a different material? Yes.
Okay. First of all, I don't see the relevancy in what you're saying, but I don't feel I should be killed. If I want to walk around butt naked, I shouldn't get killed for that. Because at the end of the day, God gave me a choice. So if I want to mix rayon with polyester and cotton with silk, that's my prerogative. If I got the money to pay for it, I should be able to mix any kind of fabrics I want.
Of course. You know why? You know why? Because you are beyond that.
Can I say something?
What's moral and what's immoral. Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize.
The Bible says that the letter killeth, but the spirit
of God maketh alive. Like, if you live according to the letter, when you live according to the letter, you have to be penalized with the penalty of the letter. But now we're living under the Spirit, which has given us grace and mercy.
But you still follow the letter. And don't come into the grace, because if you actually come into the grace period, then you're actually talking about a man-made dispensation. But, I mean, you know, that's actually
that's just,
not
that's your
here
opinion.
Or there. No, it's not. It's
that's,
a man named John Nelson. It's a man named John Nelson who actually came with the whole theory of dispensation, and he is the one that actually came up with all of the dispensations. One is being the dispensation of grace, another one being a dispensation of law. He actually came up.
What did Paul preach?
What did Paul preach?
Paul taught not us to be bound under the law. Paul taught
mm-hmm.
on grace.
Yeah,
you know what
but Paul also
said no man
can live
under the
law,
though. The law.
And Paul,
yeah.
But listen, Paul also taught the law. Not only that, but Paul followed the law. He didn't discredit the law, and Paul was actually referring to people that were not Jews. He was referring to converts, because that was his whole thing. His whole thing was he was talking about people who actually weren't Jews, and his whole point was, well, should people who aren't Jews, should they follow the law the way we follow the law? He was saying no, because they should not be subject under that. They should be subject under grace. This is a new time. This is a new era. That's what he was saying.
But that's what I was saying. That's what I was trying to say before.
Yes, and I totally agree with you.
So like that nullifies the point about you taking my son and stoning him. Because
no, it doesn't.
Said,
because
yes, it
my
does.
Question still,
yes, it
my,
does.
My,
because
my question
grace,
still stands.
Grace nullifies that penalty.
So
it does.
If that's the case, if that's the case, why do you follow the Ten Commandments still?
Okay.
So why do we follow?
Listen to the principles of the Ten Commandments. That's why
make
I follow.
A difference about it. Well, the principles of all
why
of these laws made sense.
Why not? Thou shalt not steal. That doesn't make sense?
The principle of all of these
answer
laws
the question.
Made sense.
Thou shalt not steal. That doesn't make sense?
Of course it makes sense. It makes
okay.
a lot of sense.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. That doesn't make sense?
Well, under right or wrong circumstances, it would make sense. Because
okay.
I wouldn't know a whole
so
bunch of people,
my,
you know,
my
that it would make
being,
sense under.
My point being, there are some things in the Old Testament we have to abide by.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's some things in the Old Testament, because of grace, we don't have to abide by. Because Paul, the Bible said, when they was talking about eating pork and eating
yeah.
The Bible says that God said, don't curse nothing that I have deemed clean.
Mm-hmm. Cherry picking.
So he said, how's that cherry picking? How's that cherry picking?
Because you're taking some parts of the Old Testament and you are saying that it's okay.
That's what you do.
And then you're taking some.
No,
of course I do. Of course I do.
You have to take some. Hold up, hold up. Wait a minute.
We all do. I don't deny it.
You have to take some of. You can't. Listen, bottom line is this. If we all tried to live under the penalty of the law, no man could stand.
Yeah, you're right.
Do we agree
right.
with that? So
yep.
therefore you have to abide by some of the stuff, and some of the stuff is erroneous. Why am I going to take my son out and stone him because he didn't do something I said?
Because
that
that's
erroneous.
What God said. Because that's what God said do, and that was
listen,
a part of the commandment.
All the laws in the Old Testament did not come from God, number one.
Yeah, ho. That
no,
one
ho,
did.
Ho, nothing. All the laws in the Old Testament did not come from God. They did not all come from God.
Ho, but it actually says God says these things. It
no,
actually
no,
says
it doesn't. Show
okay.
me where it says that.
Okay, I'll find
show
it.
Show me
I
where
do,
it says
I,
that.
I would do my, I would
just
do
like,
my best to
like
find
Paul,
it.
Just like Paul would say, even in the New Testament, don't get it confused. I'm not saying God said this. I, Paul, say this.
I know, but I'm not talking about what Paul said. I'm talking about the laws.
Okay. The laws, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
The laws are the Ten Commandments.
No, the laws are the 613 commandments.
See, that's where I think you're a little confused.
No, I'm not confused.
Let me finish. That's where you're wrong. Because the laws that you're referring to is what's the word? Okay. Those are what you call, and this is not the right word that I need to use, but they are the Ten Commandments, right? Then those other laws come under the Ten Commandments, all right? Those other laws, all them 600-some laws you're talking about, those laws didn't come from God.
Okay.
A lot of them laws was man-made.
Prove it to me.
I can't prove it to you. When Moses was over the children of Israel, and his father-in-law said, "You can't handle all this by yourself. Pick you out 12 men that can help you govern these people." Those 12 men, along with Moses, came up with those laws that you're referring to.
Hold on 1 second. We actually lost Jay. We got to put him back on.
Hello?
Okay. You back?
All right. Yeah, I'm back.
I'm going to say that one more time now that Jay's on the phone. All right? Those laws was created by a council of men that Moses picked under the instruction of his father-in-law, Jethro.
Okay.
Go to the Bible. If you go to the Bible, it'll show you exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm actually going to read what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 21:18 and 21.
The Ten Commandments was the laws that Moses dictated from the mouth of God. All right?
Okay, you ready?
Wait a minute. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy was written by Moses by the inspiration of God. Those are the five books of the law.
The Pentateuch.
Everything else that came after that was man-made, my friend.
Yeah, okay. No, wait. Anything. Well, I'm talking about Deuteronomy.
Okay.
So
I'll read it.
It says, listen. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, 19, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "The son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death.
What's that? Deuteronomy what?
Deuteronomy 21:18 and 18-21.
Okay. Now let me say that. Now, I got an answer for that too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nothing that you said there is saying the law said.
That was the law.
Listen, you need to understand there's a difference in when God says something and when man says something.
You just read and said
that they brought the child to the elders. Yes, and the elders said, let me finish, and the elders said, take him out and stone him. That ain't saying the law said it. That's saying that the elders said it.
Paul, where do you think they actually got the law from?
You just read it. That ain't no law. They just saying that's how you handle your child. That don't make it a law.
Leviticus you has just said, all laws in it.
Wait. You just said the five books, which Jay just said it was called the Pentateuch, right? You said, Jay?
Yeah.
The five laws. Those were the five books of law.
Listen to what you're reading. You said
that is a part of the law.
No, it's not.
It's in Deuteronomy. Okay,
just because it's in the book of a law, don't make it a law.
Well, the only thing I will have to say is we would have to agree to disagree on that.
Okay,
that's
well,
it.
You can disagree to whatever. Just because
okay.
something is in the law book, don't make it a law.
Okay, all right. I mean,
you just said yourself that the parents had to bring the child to the elders, and the
mm-hmm.
elders said, which is a judgment. They judged
okay.
the child and determined that the child needed to be taken out and stoned. That don't
okay.
make it a law.
Okay, I mean,
that's a penalty that the child got for his actions. Does
okay,
that
yeah.
is God
I'm,
saying?
I'm not,
did
calm,
God
listen,
say
listen,
take
calm
the child
down,
and stone
I apologize.
Him?
Listen to what I'm saying to you. We would have to agree to disagree. I believe that's a law. You don't believe.
You know what I'm saying is factual because you feel it.
No.
Because if you had a rebuttal against what I'm saying, you would have one.
I just read it. I just read it from one of
okay,
the books of the law.
Okay, read it again.
You know what we're going to have to do? This is what you're going to have to do. Since it's 632 or something laws, you're going to have to actually get to the point and read every law that was written. We have to do, one day we have to just do a segment on just the different laws that was back then.
But
if you let
him read the passage of Scripture, what I'm saying is right there.
I'm not justifying anything.
Read the Scripture, and it don't say nothing in what you read to say that was a law.
Listen, hold on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It doesn't say that's a law.
So
it doesn't say
that's
that.
It's part of the Ten Commandments.
Hold on.
No,
you're right. All right?
Yes.
Listen. Wow. All right. What I think it is, I think both of y'all are saying the same thing in a different way. If it was a law, this is what I think. The reason why they took the child to the elders, right, is because it was a law, and if the child was found guilty, the elders, they had the right to sentence the child to be stoned to death if he fell in the category of that law. Even though
I actually agree with you, Jay. I don't agree with that.
No, my thing is like right
let me explain why I don't agree with that.
No,
all right.
This is what it is. Hold on, Jay.
If I'm selling drugs,
right, in a school zone, and the law is if you get caught in a school zone with crack cocaine.
Jay, that ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
A law, yes it does.
That ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about a child that's in a home. The child was in the home. The reason why the parents took the child to the elders because they couldn't handle the child. Because if they could handle the child, it wouldn't be a reason to take the child to the elders. Do we agree on that? Your child not doing what you want, the first thing you're going to do is take that child to your pastor. I see it all the time. All right?
I'm
telling you what the Scripture says. That pastor is going to say what you need to do.
If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen, I'm only reading part of it, I'm not reading the whole thing. Not listen to them when they discipline him. His father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death.
Lou, that's a law, Lou.
I don't agree with that.
That's a law. Look how it's
because
reading.
If it was a law, they would say, according to the law, this
no,
child.
No, they wouldn't say that. Because,
why not?
Well, because
everywhere else, they say, according to the law, this
no,
is
it
the
doesn't.
Penalty.
No,
okay,
it does not.
Where my Bible
because,
at? I'm going to shut this down right now.
Yeah, we're going to
I'm gonna
get,
shut this
yeah.
down right now.
Not,
I mean, like
I, got
like,
it, I, got
like I said.
That was a law.
That wasn't no
like
law.
Like I said, we don't necessarily have to agree on that. We don't
have
to agree.
y'all confusing laws with penalties. There's a difference. That wasn't no law, because every time somebody did something and broke the law, they said according to the law. According to the law.
They didn't say that every time.
According to the
Because in the Ten Commandments, it didn't say that. It didn't say according to the law every commandment that.
Okay,
that
so show me in the Bible where somebody broke the Ten Commandments. Show me in the Bible. And they was brought before the elders. And show me, give me something to back up what you're saying.
Well, I mean, I just gave you one about the stoning of the kids, but you want another
that
one?
That wasn't a part of you said Ten Commandments, Aaron.
Okay.
That what you're talking about is not a part of the Ten Commandments.
And I'm telling
it,
you.
Where is it in the Bible that says a part of the Ten Commandments, stone your child if he rebels against you?
Look, and I'm actually telling you that the Ten Commandments aren't the only commandments, and those aren't commandments set apart. Those are the commandments that we actually set apart. But there were actually 613 commandments in all that they had to follow. But I will try to find something for you. I mean, we actually have 11 minutes left in the show, but well, actually 10 minutes left in the show. But I mean, I'll try to find something real quick for you. I'll try. I won't promise you, but I'll try.
Before a penalty is called out, you have to be made aware of what law you broke. So before you can be penalized, you need to be made aware of what law you broke. That's why they say according to
the law,
according to the law, this is your penalty. That's what I'm trying to explain to y'all.
So he broke the law when he was being disobedient to his parents.
Yes.
Okay, show me which law. Okay, show me the law that says that is the law.
Even Jesus said, "Honor thy mother and father." You know,
okay,
and your days will be long.
Okay, honor thy mother and father, but okay, you're still not showing me where that's a law. That's a requirement. It's a difference in a requirement and a law.
Okay. I mean, I won't argue with you because I see it as being a law. You don't see it as being a law. So, like I said, we just have to agree to disagree.
I don't see your point being a law.
Because Jay just told me just now that there were five books dealing with the law. That was one of the books that had laws in it.
Okay. That's not the dispute. The dispute is the passage of scripture that you read. You trying to justify that as a law, and it's not.
Okay.
It's just in a book of laws, but that passage of scripture, to me, that's not proven that was a law.
Okay.
That was a penalty for the boy not obeying his mother and father.
Yeah, but penalties are only given to people who actually break laws.
Not
I mean, that's common sense.
Do you penalize your child for breaking the law?
Hold on.
Yeah, I do penalize my child for breaking the law. What does it say? Because I don't have it in front of me, and I'm quite sure Apostle Lou doesn't have it in front of him. So read it.
Let me ask you: is this a law? Verse 22 and 23, and it says, "If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death." And thou hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For if he is hanged, is a curse of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee as an inheritance. Is that a law?
I don't get the relevance of what you. I don't understand what that had to do with what we're talking about.
We're talking about.
Because
does that sound? Is it a law?
Because basically,
is it a command? Is it a law?
I'll answer that for you. Basically, what happened was when Jesus actually died, they had to take his body down because that was a law. That actually was something that they had to do because it was established laws. that they had to abide by. That's why they actually took Jesus down. That's why they didn't allow him to hang, because they had to follow
the law,
the Judeo laws.
What
and
does
that
was have
one
to
of the
do?
Laws.
What does that have to do with what you just read in Deuteronomy? Absolutely
because,
nothing.
Matter of fact,
no, because
that,
ho, because you said because you just said one of us give you a reason, or I mean give you another scripture pertaining to a law that it doesn't say by the, you know, commandment or whatever, and that didn't say it.
Okay, but the scripture he read is still not proving what I say. Who's it says if. It's the difference in if and when somebody does something. Do you agree with that?
What,
so if we're going by if,
totally,
of course that's a law.
No. Nobody's talking about
read,
if.
See, no, you got the every word in the scripture has a meaning. All right.
Oh, wait. Okay. Wait. Let's. I'm sorry, because we can
No, everybody calm
listen,
down for a second, right?
Listen,
no,
yeah, we can.
First of all, let me say this, and I ain't going to say nothing else.
Okay.
It's a difference when you saying, if a man does such and such and such and such and whatever. It's a difference when you saying if and when a man does it.
Okay.
Can we agree
okay.
with that? So if you go by the if, of course it's a law.
But it's
No, hold. Wait, Jay.
It says if a man.
How we go from a man? Okay, go ahead.
Jay, just wait. Like I said, we only have 5 minutes now to finish. So we have, you know, been on this one topic for at least 15 minutes. So before we actually go, let's just hit on something else, and let's all just say that we agree to disagree on that topic. That's all, and then we could come back and finish it on another show. We definitely can do that. But with the remaining minutes that we actually have, let's just hit on one more topic, which is the final topic, man versus God. When someone says that to you, Jay, man versus God, how do you view that?
Well, I view that as when someone says man versus God, first of all, my point of view on that is, all right, if someone was just like, we're saying man versus God, who wins, right? Me, how I view that is I believe in a lot of instances man thinks he's greater than God. Mainly because
okay.
he thinks God doesn't exist based upon his own intellect and what he has not seen with his natural eye or what he has not proven yet. So since
okay.
he hasn't proven it yet, he has no evidence for it. He thinks God is just a mystery that's unsolved. So it's almost like a cold case file, put in a cold
All right.
case file. So, man,
right, okay.
I think, man, yeah, that's my opinion.
Okay, all right, cool. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but we only have 3 more minutes left, and I want to get Apostle Young's view on it. When someone says to you, man versus God, what's the first thing that comes to your head?
That man could never be versus God.
Okay.
First of all, because even if a man don't believe in God, how could he go up against? First of all, how can you go up against something that you can't see, touch? So, I mean, it's a good topic, but realistically, man can never go up against God. It can't happen.
Okay, I could agree with that in a sense. My last point, I actually believe man cannot go against God, but man can actually go against the idea of an entity, of a creator. And I believe that man will always and continue to actually to pose that question and ask that question until either God actually comes or God doesn't come. So until that happens, I believe no one will ever know. And because we don't know, that is the whole reason and the whole purpose behind faith. You cannot necessarily, and you may not necessarily prove that God may or may not exist. In that sense, you would have already lost the battle. The only thing that I may say is that the only way you can prove God exists is through faith. The only way you can understand if a God exists is through your own personal faith.
Yes.
We have 90 seconds left.
Well, can
Jay,
I say this?
Yes.
Can I say this? In rebuttal to what you just said,
mm-hmm.
and it's just my own little thing, and this is not mine, but a great leader said, and his name is Bishop Jerome Wilcox, "I'd rather have God and not need him than to need him and not have him."
Jay, if you could take us out in the last 50 seconds.
This is Minister Miller. We thank our brother Aaron Spradley. We thank our brother Apostle Louis Young for giving us their time and just talking and us coming together. I hope no one was offended by the different tones and levels of voices. It's all in love. We're men striving for perfection, trying to grow, trying to get a better understanding of this whole life thing. All of y'all out there, be blessed. I believe God loves you. I believe God has you in his heart and in his mind. Until the next episode, this is Dirty Church Radio. Peace.
Peace. Take care.
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.